in just a few moments, which is preacher talk for sometime before the end of the day, we will conclude our worship service here by singing the old hymn, Heaven Came Down. Words begin this way, "Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met." The chorus goes on to say, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul." This morning, as we continue our study in Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9, we're going to deal with another day in which heaven comes down. The heaven that came down in this song hopefully is a day that you can join in with the composer of it and say, that was true of me too. It's a day in the past. And if that's not the case, I hope you can make it a day of the present. But there's coming a day in the future in which heaven will come down once again, but with altogether different consequence. And we're going to read that in Revelation chapter 8 and 9, if you will. If you have your Bibles, follow along as I read our text for this morning, a rather long one. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. The third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as of the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek, the tongue, his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the 4 angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the 4 angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Thus I saw the horses in division, them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. But by these three, was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. 6 of the 7 trumpet judgments are declared here in these 2 chapters, and we're going to take them pretty much as a whole, but just with a little bit of individual discussion this morning about them. I want to look at the purpose of these trumpet judgments, the time of the trumpet judgments, the reason for the trumpet judgments, the nature of the trumpet judgments, and then finally the accomplishments of these trumpet judgments. And since I only have one day to do this, I guess I better get moving. Let's look at first of all, the purpose, and that's found in the last 2 verses of chapter 9 that I concluded with here. So we're going to start actually at the back and then come around again. It says that after all these things took place, man that was yet living, and multitudes are dying through these plagues, repented not from the works of their hands. The works of their hands here were gods that man has created and which man has worshipped. So there is a judgment here. The purpose of this is on the judgment of what man has created in the place of God to be worshipped. And then secondly, in verse 21, it deals with how man lives in light of that false worship. Notice in verse 21, everything but the word fornication is found in the plural. So that neither repented they of their murders, which means the taking of life in various different forms. Sorceries, interesting word. The Greek word for sorceries here is the word pharmakia, from which we get pharmacy from. Literally, it has the idea of the using of drugs to create an altered state. Usually that was the way the shamans and the various cultic religions created their worship. They got you into a trance or into some type of altered mental state to worship. The word fornication is singular, but the very word by itself covers a multitude of different things. And then, more of their thefts. Plural, the stealing of various different things, such as time. So the purpose here is a judgment of God upon that which man worships and how man lives in light of that worship. The time of the trumpet judgments is next. We have seen, and we were looking at the 7 seals, then come these 7 judgments to follow in a week or 2 or 3 are going to be the 7 bowl judgments. Some have said during this 7-year tribulation period that these judgments all happen consecutively. The first seal judgment coincides with the first trumpet judgment, which coincides with the first bowl judgment. Problem with that is, if you look at these judgments, they're different in their very nature, and that's not the case. I believe it's probably better to consider that these first seven seals take place, and then out of the seventh seal come the seven trumpet judgments. And out of the seventh trumpet judgment, then comes the seven bowl judgments. What this is going to do is it's going to create a crescendo type of effect that towards the end of the seven-year tribulation, these judgments are just coming back to back to back to back. I mean, it's going to wind up, if you will, with a bang. As to where we are in the tribulation period, there is no way to tell with any definity the exact time. There are some clues in Scripture that are given to us. For example, it says here in chapter 9 and verse 5 that the scorpions here were given that they should torment men 5 months. So you have to have at least 5 months towards till the end of the tribulation period. Other places, as you get on to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, it talks about the two witnesses and how they shall witness for 3.5 years. Some have taken that to indicate that this seventh trumpet ends before the middle of the tribulation. That's possible. It is also possible, but that Revelation 11 is kind of backing up a little bit and saying, okay, here's what happened. Now let me fill in a few more details of something different. So where we are in time really is not conclusive, but it is at least 5 months before the end of the tribulation. What's the reason for trumpet judgments? Why are they called trumpet judgments? Why are these angels sounding trumpets? And that's really, really interesting. Trumpets in Scripture were used for three different specific purposes. In the Old Testament times, they were used to summon the people together. As you remember, as the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, and they would set up camp, and they would be there for a while, and then the Spirit of God would move them on. Well, when it was time to move on, they would blow a trumpet and say, follow on. Back in Nehemiah's day, when the surrounding people that were antagonistic to the Jews were trying to attack Jerusalem, Nehemiah says, I want you guys to be on alert, and whenever you hear the sound of a trumpet, everybody gather where the trumpet is being sounded, and there we're going to defend against attack. So a trumpet sounded people together, which is what the rapture of the church is all about. A trumpet announced a very special occasion. The feast days were announced by the sounding of a trumpet. Whenever a king came to office, they sounded the trumpet. So it was used that way. But the third way is the most interesting, and that was to call the people to war. And I want you to keep your finger here or put a marker here in Revelation chapters 8 and 9 and go back with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, and if you will remember, if you know your Old Testament, there was a pretty important battle that took place in Joshua's day. It's the Battle of Jericho, and I want you to see something I think that is very, very interesting. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, compass this city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant followed the Lord. And to make a little bit longer story a little bit shorter, they did this for six days. Circled the city, blowing the trumpets. People never said a word. Seventh day, they surrounded the city seven times, blowing the trumpets. And when the signal was given, the people shouted with a loud voice, and the walls fell down. Now, what was going on here? Well, this is the land that God had promised to the Jews. A land that had been taken over by somebody who was not God-fearing. And in effect, what it is God is saying, okay, it's your turn to go in there and take back what rightfully belongs to you. Now, we had with the seven seals what we determined would be a title deed to the earth. As the seals are open, basically what this deed is saying is the earth is the Lord's. Belongs to Him. But it has now been inhabited and is under the control of non-God-fearing people. And I think what you have here is a prophetic event taking place yet future in the very same manner as the Battle of Jericho. And as the first, or as the seventh seal is open, there is silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Remember, the people, as they compassed the city, said nothing. Till on the seventh day, those trumpets sounded and finished sounding. Then the people shouted with a loud voice. I think that's what's going on here. You have this idea of God saying, okay, the earth, here's the seal, here's the deed, it's mine. Now get out of my country. And He's coming by war to take back what belongs to Him. And with each of these sounding of a trumpet, there is a judgment upon what man is worshiping and how he is living. Let's look at them in kind of quick detail. With the first judgment here, verse 7 of chapter 8, you have hail and fire mingled with blood. Do we accept these judgments as literal or symbolic? Without question, there is symbolic language here. With the second one, it says, as it were, a great mountain. It's not a mountain falling, but something resembling a mountain. So there is symbolic language. But I think the judgments are literal. I think these are actually taking place the way they are described, maybe with some symbolic language, but an actual judgment. And you have here, coming out of heaven, heaven's coming down, fire and hail. And blood. And what happens? Third part of the trees was burned up. Can you imagine something coming out of heaven? And probably it is in a localized area, but it's destroying in that locality all the trees, which would amount to one third of the earth's trees. Not only that, all the grass in that area is burned up with it. Now you say, well, you know, it's just trees, it's just grass. What's important about that? Well, part of these idols were made out of wood. There's a judgment upon an idol. But can you imagine what would happen to the cost of things if all these trees were burnt up? The cost of building a home? Well, a home is a man's castle where he rules, where he lives, where he does whatever he wants to do. Judgment upon how man lives. With the grass, consequently, you're not going to have animals that are going to have stuff to eat. The cost of food is going to go up sky high. That's going to make an interesting thing. Second one here, verse 8. Second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Third part of the sea becomes blood, probably from the destruction of the animals itself that were in there that died. A third part of the sea creatures. Can you imagine what that will do to the cost of tuna fish? Charlie won't be around to send you. Not only that, one third of the shipping and the commerce of shipping is destroyed. Can you imagine what that will do to the cost of goods? A third angel in verse 10 sounds, and there falls a great star. Is this a real star? Could be. Could be something else. Could be something, you know, maybe on the order of a spaceship that was sent up there, a satellite or something like that. I'm not going to speculate as to what it was. All I'm going to say is something comes out of there resembling a star, and it falls upon the fresh waters. And the fresh waters are turned bitter, so bitter and caustic apparently, that if you drink them, you will die drinking water. They're having problems out in California right now from a drought. Can you imagine if one third of the world's water supply would become tainted and undrinkable, what catastrophes that would ensue? Verse 12, a fourth angel sounds, and third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars, so that they don't give forth their light. Now, you say to me, how can that be? Well, tell you the truth, I don't know. I don't know how the sun could not give forth its light and how the moon could not. Obviously, if the sun's not giving forth, the moon's not going to, because it's simply reflecting the sun. How the stars couldn't give forth their light, I don't understand that, but I believe it. For you see, I don't understand how a nearly 100-year-old person, man, and his 90-some-year-old wife could have a child, but they did. I don't understand how an 80-year-old person could stand at the edge of a sea and put forth his arm and the waters would divide, that they could go through on dry ground, but they did. I don't understand how Joshua could command the sun to stand still, but it did. I don't understand how a virgin could conceive, but she did. Do I understand this? Nope. Do I believe it'll happen? Yep. For it's not a problem with God. Can you imagine what would happen if your normal 12 hours of daylight became only 8? And the normal 12 hours of darkness became really, really dark for 4 hours every night. Oh, by the way, you know what happens when darkness takes place? Most crime takes place at night. If there's 4 more hours of darkness, can you imagine what's going on in the world? All these things are destruction upon what? Well, you've got waters. You've got vegetation, you've got the sun, the moon, the stars. We would say it's a judgment upon nature, right? That's what we would say, unfortunately. Mother Nature or Mother Earth. And see, that's how man looks at the world in which he lives. How many times have you heard someone talking about the wrath of Mother Nature with all the spring tornadoes and everything? Or the destruction that we're giving to Mother Earth? Where's Father God? Who is saying, wait a minute, God created the world, and all these things are part of the creation of God and the sovereignty of God? No, we don't even recognize that. And that's exactly what's going on here. It is a judgment upon man for that which he worships and how he lives. And with chapter 9, the fifth angel sounds, and out of a bottomless pit comes forth smoke and such, and locusts. Are these real locusts? Could be. Could be demons. Could be both. What's interesting is in this bottomless pit, we find the demonic realm. Jude talks about angels who were cast down because they kept not their first estate and are reserved unto judgment. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, well, they're reserved unto their own judgment. I was wondering if maybe Jude is talking about this judgment. And here, and by the way, in this purpose here, found in verse 21, God is judging on the basis of man's fornication. But what were these angels involved in? Fornication. Nonetheless, you have these locusts going forth, and whether they're locusts or whether they're demons or whether they're symbolic of armies or whatever the case is, it more than likely is that this demonic realm, and they have the ability to provide a sting to those who do not have the seal of God, unsaved folks, but it won't be fatal. The only problem is man wishes it would be fatal. It'll be so horrific that man will want to die and can't. And then with the sixth one, you have the opening of the Euphrates River that an army of 200 million can pour into the Middle East. And in that pouring in of this army, one third of the world's population dies. Now, I had this thought just this morning as I was going over this message. So it's not something that I can share with you that I can say, I know this to be the case. In fact, I don't know if I studied it for 5 years if I could end up saying this. But what was interesting, in the Battle of Jericho, the people were to remain quiet, not say a word until that last trumpet sounded. And then with a great shout, they would shout and the walls would come down. At the beginning of this, we have, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And I asked myself the question, and I'll just pose it as a question. Could all seven of these, or six trumpets here, all six of these trumpets have sounded within the space of a half an hour? Can you imagine a destruction to the trees, the grass, the oceans, the fresh water, the rise of an army of 200 million, that one third of the earth's population would die, a sting, all happening within a half an hour? Doesn't that blow your mind? Boggle the imagination? Now, I'm not saying it does, but I just wondered why there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But what is the accomplishment of this? Well, unfortunately, the chapter 9 ends with not so great of an accomplishment. And it says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. Do you realize as the children of Israel were going around walls of Jericho and blowing on those trumpets, they were saying, look guys, we're coming. Your city not going to be around for much longer. You have the opportunity as we march around here to join us. But if you don't, when we're done, so are you. You're going to be history. And the city, it says, was shut up securely, tightly. No one went in, no one went out. And I'll bet you if there was someone in there that had even the thought of going out, there were probably people at the door saying, you're not going anywhere. And likewise, during this time, there's going to be opportunity with the sounding of each of those trumpets for people to repent. They're going to say, wait a minute. all these things that I thought nature had to deal with, nature's not doing me anything. All these things that I thought were valuable to me, the freedoms that I thought I had that I could take a life without consequence, murders, I think probably abortion ranks right at the top, sorceries, illicit drugs, fornication, the abuse of marriage, thefts of all kinds. That didn't get me anywhere. But would they repent? Didn't happen. Well, Pastor, that sounds like God was a failure then. Oh no. Oh no. We come back to the beginning of chapter 8, and something that I kind of skipped over as I've been doing the last couple of weeks and coming back to what happens at the beginning here. Well, right before these trumpets are to sound, we have an angel here that's standing at an altar with a golden censer. And according to verse 3, there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. You know, that would be the prayers of all saints, godly peoples, believers, from day one on through. Not just all of the tribulation, not just all of the church age, not just all of the Old Testament, but all saints. And what have all saints been looking for? Well, I think the Lord summed it up this way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's the prayer of all saints being answered. God is saying, look, I've got the title to this planet. It belongs to me. You guys either join us or you're leaving. And the trumpets announce the answer to these prayers of all saints. I like what Warren Wiersbe wrote in his commentary. He said, the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, or not to, the purpose, let me try this again, I'm sorry. The purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth, even if that will involves judgment. True prayer is serious business. So we had better not move the altar too far from the throne. I like that. Here we have the altar right near the throne of God in heaven. And the saints of all the prayers are being offered, and consequently, they're coming to pass. Well, what do we take out of this? Number one, two things. Number one, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're given another opportunity today. Will you be given another opportunity tomorrow? I don't know if there will be a tomorrow. You have an opportunity now. These folks said, we don't need it. Trust in our gods. Our gods will get us through. No, they won't. I had in the point to ponder about a rabbit's foot. How lucky is that rabbit's foot? Ask the rabbit. Wasn't lucky for him. And yet we trust in all these different things to get us through life when there's only one person who can do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted him as Savior, you have another opportunity right now. Don't neglect it. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift, but it's a gift that must be received, and it can only be received by you trusting in that blood of Calvary's cross. But here's the second thing. Do you ever give up on prayer? Do you ever say to yourself, oh, I've been praying about this for so long, and it hasn't come to pass. Why bother? Apparently God's not hearing my prayers. Apparently God doesn't care about my prayers. Apparently God's saying no. and you stop praying. Don't do that. Here are the prayers of all the saints, which means that they could be from people as much as 6,000 years ago, and they haven't been fulfilled yet. God is saying, I'll get it in my time. It's going to come to pass. Don't stop praying. One of the greatest regrets, greatest disappointments, that's a better word, that I have as a pastor is the attendance of Wednesday night prayer meeting. And I understand there are legitimate reasons why some can't be here. The fact of the matter is, we as Christians don't give enough priority to prayer. God says, I've never lost one. The prayers of all the saints are gathered together, and I'll answer them in my time. What about you? What's the priority? What's the value that you give to prayer? What's the need of your heart today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Let's pray. Father, maybe there's one here this morning who would say, Pastor, I don't know with any certainty that should I die today, I'd be in heaven for eternity. And the truth of the matter is that we can know with certainty. For the Apostle John tells us that we can know these things. That with certainty, he that has the Son has life. In his gospel, he said, the one who was born again shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Not on the basis of any works that a man can do for himself or to another, but simply on the basis of what Christ did on Calvary's cross, in that he bore our sins in his own body and paid for them with his blood. For the wages of sin is death. And Lord, I pray if there's one here right now, in simple prayer of faith, might call out to the one who died for them and trust him to be their Savior. Not a God made of wood or stone or anything else or gold, but a God who took on human flesh, walked this earth, and died, but who rose from the grave and lives for eternity. Father, I pray if there's a Christian here this morning who has given up hope in praying, that as we consider this passage of Scripture, that hope will be rekindled. That there will be an excitement, a confidence, a desire to spend significant time and energies into praying that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, may our prayer closets be not far removed from the throne and the altar. To that end, Lord, we ask that you'll accomplish in us that which is pleasing to you this morning. For the rest of time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.